Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. We hope broadcast is finding everybody well out there. I am your driver this evening, Dave Atwell. I hope everything is going well as I am struggling with the refrigerator. Feel a little under the weather. I'm going to risk the chance and try to drink a malt beverage and see if maybe it'll make me worse or better. Nevertheless, I'm going to grab my toboggan to keep my bald-ass head warm, and I'm going to go outside so I can get a good signal. So, we're all kind of struggling this week. We're all having our issues and everything with stuff going down, so we are going to fight our way through it, hang on in there, and talk it up. So let me go ahead and go around and introduce the esteemed friends, panels, and brothers I have with us this evening. First off, not far from me, my good brother and fellow White Oak Viking, Papa Stroh, what is happening?
Great to be here with you all, brother. I feel like we're living that song by the Doors, Riders on the Storm.
Man.
Yeah, totally with you. But yeah, appreciate you joining us this evening. Good to hear your voice as always. So I'm going to slide up north real quick, like, to the fantastic city of Indianapolis and introduce my good brother and anchorman, Todd. What it is?
I'm doing outstanding, supernatural, ecstatic to be here. And, man, I'm wondering, we were talking in the green room earlier and talking about this bipolar weather. Dude, I got... I don't know. I a lot of times I could plan my attire for the week. I feel like I could just put it on a roulette wheel, give it a spin, and decide that's what I'm wearing for the day.
Yeah, you're right. Don't know whether to throw a flannel shirt on or a T-shirt, and I think that's what kind of got me is that I was working outdoors and wore dressed appropriately for the colder weather, but then the next day when it warmed up, I was dressing the same for the colder weather, and maybe perhaps that might have been what got into me. But yeah, as you can tell by my voice, I am not up to par tonight. I'm feeling birdie, if not, or bogey, if not double bogey at the moment. But yeah, I think the weather is the culprit, because the weather has been just janky as hell around here. And, Stroh can attest to it. I mean, we had a freeze the other night, killed off my pepper plants and everything, and now it was in the 70s today. So, yeah. Mother Nature needs to make her damn mind up so we can all get down to business.
Man, you guys have had some cold morning. Your part of the country was, what, 21 degrees for Thanksgiving morning?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's that was not all that far from a November record low for you guys.
Yeah.
It
yeah,
might
I need
have been
a
for that date.
Old Greta Thunberg needs to clear this up with me. Let me know why I'm out here shivering my balls off. And things are supposed to be going the other direction. But nevertheless, we will shiver together, goddammit, and we will make it through. So tonight's topic, real easy topic, because I don't know about you guys, but up until the last 48 hours when I started feeling like the ass end of nothing, I have been having the best couple weeks, and maybe that's perhaps why I'm not feeling good, because it's the yin for the yang. But I figured tonight we could do a little Thanksgiving recap, and hit on some good news going on around us. And, you know, any good words you guys have, we'll throw in and try to bring up the spirits just a bit. And in the event you hear me choking out over here, I'm okay. Just another one of those coughing fits. But before we get to rolling, though, have two very important dates this evening, for one. 3 years ago today, my lovely wife, Dale, brought home our first rescue pet from a pet rescue. So we kind of deemed that as Sadie's birthday / family day. And they said she was 2 when we got her, so that would make her 5 today. But 3 years with us here in Atwell House. And I'll tell you, she is a fantastic, she's a fantastic dog, man. She's not real huge on personality. I always call her the emo chick of the house because she always kind of has this droopy look to her and everything. You know, like she's always in trouble or something. But if she was a human, she'd be the one dressing with the black lipstick and all that kind of stuff, going to Hot Topic for the school clothes and all. But when it comes down to being just a good friend, good dog, I tell you what, I love that dog to death. And as I've said on the show before, when Dale brought her home, she was in bad shape. And when it comes down to dogs, I just can't handle it. I could bury people. I could bury cats. I could bury enemies. I just, when it comes down to dogs, I'm just mush. And when Dale brought her home, she was not looking up the par. And I was like, wow. All I could think about, you know, I had this dread in my heart. It's like, man, you know, I don't know if she's going to make it. And, you know, and, of course, Misty, our Mastiff, she warmed right up to her. And about a week into it, Sadie started eating and started getting around a little better and started making herself a little more comfortable. And now you'd think she owned the place. So she has come a long way. And when I got a little backstory on her, from what I understand, she was a day away from being put down at the shelter when the rescue went over there and picked her up. And I just can't possibly imagine that such a good dog had the possibility of leaving us, man. It just, it's heartbreaking when you think about it. So that's the reason why I go out of my way to make her extra comfortable. So big happy birthday to Sadie, our number 2 doggie. And Friday, I got the 2 for Friday. My gorgeous wife, Dale, will be turning another age. Won't go ahead and throw her age out there because I don't want her smothering me out with a pillow if she listens. Despite the fact she's pretty damn hot for her age, I'll go ahead and throw that out there. But nevertheless, I will not divulge her age.
I'm not sure they even take that as a compliment. I mean, I'm just saying, you're on a roll right now. Hell, at this point, you might as well throw the age out. No, don't.
Yeah. I might as well sleep in my truck so that way I know if somebody's trying to get to me, you know. And along with her birthday, my son, Rob, will be turning 23. Todd, can you imagine that boy turning 23 years old?
No, because he just turned 21, and I'm dealing with that.
Yeah, he's a good boy. He's,
wait,
23? Right now. Oh, he's coming out to handle the trash for me. Tonight's trash night. Good man. I appreciate it. But, no, he'll be turning 23, and I tell you what, I'd be lost without him. I know it. Seemed like just the other day we were, you know, boiling bottles and pumping Similac.
Yeah, I mean, he just turned 21. He just graduated high school the day before that. Then he just, the day before that, he was in high school. Wait, what?
Yeah, it's crazy. So, you know, this is kind of a good time of the year every year for me because we, you know, we have our anniversary on November 17th and then Thanksgiving. And Misty, our first dog, her birthday is the 27th. And then we have, of course, Sadie's on the 1st and Dale and Rob's on the 3rd. And not far ahead of that is Christmas. So one of my favorite times of year. And I want to wish all of them a happy birthday because they damn sure make my life better. And I really appreciate them being around just for who they are and how they give me reasons to keep getting it. So, big happy birthday to all of them. So,
yeah, indeed.
With all that pomp and circumstance out of the way, we'll move on to our good news, man. What kind of good news y'all got floating around out there?
Man, there's always good news. See, sometimes we just got to look for it. I'll say this. I think that your idea of calling this the Thanksgiving, or, you know, Thanksgiving recap and talking about good news is, if you notice, when I threw on the Comic-Con stars or pop culture stars Facebook page, I mentioned for Thanksgiving show, just a reminder that Thanksgiving is kind of a perpetual thing, not a particular holiday or day. So I like that you're running with that. It fits the sentiments. But there's always something to be grateful for, something to appreciate. I tell you what, we're going to be close to 60 tomorrow temperature-wise, so I will take that up here in this part of the country in December, where our average high, again, is 40 degrees this month. And we're actually going to start off the day somewhere near our average high and be up to 60 degrees. It'll be nice not to have to be wearing a toque, as the McKenzie brothers would say.
God, they were great. Take off, eh?
Hoser.
That's another one of those movies where, you know, you had to be there to see it, but if you were there, you just can't forget it. I mean, they had a cassette album called, I think it was called Great White North, if I'm not mistaken. And that thing was funny, front to back. You just laughed.
Well, Geddy Lee helped him with that song, Great White North.
Yes. I don't know if you remember them doing a cover of the Police, Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic, but they did Every Little Thing She Cooks Is Tragic.
Yes.
You remember
yeah.
that one?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
They're hilarious.
Yes. Says, I resolved to throw in up 1,000 times a day. This keeps coming to approach me with 100 pounds of clay. Yeah. They were great. Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they were great. And I thought it was cool that Max von Sydow was in their movie they made. McKenzie Brothers movie.
You know, and you look at that, you look at what Max von Sydow had done. I mean, you know, this guy had played everything from like a Nazi colonel to a guy on Star Wars. He played in Make the Merciless, of course. And, you know, he's been all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then was in Strange Brew.
Yes.
and he drank a whole keg of beer to put out the plant fire. Y'all stand back.
Yeah.
And leak, eh? Yeah. That was a great flick. It just doesn't get the credit.
I'm going to have to watch that again.
Yeah. They go into the plant with the mouse in the bottle. Hey, we found this mouse in a bottle of beer, eh? What was so damn funny about it is that the mouse is alive. And if you found a mouse in a bottle of beer, it would probably be dead, right? Funny.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, good flick, man. Good call.
Yeah, now, I love Rick Moranis, man. That guy is hilarious. Oh, my God.
Oh, hell yeah. And he's another happy story, man. He, you know, he did his thing. He, you know, made his money. And then when, you know, he started having a family, he stepped away from it and took care of his family. And, you know, now he's returning to it. Now that his kids are grown up, he's starting to kind of ease back into the game. But, yeah, he went home and took care of the family. And you know, left it behind. And it's one of those stories that, you know, for those of us who gave up a lot raising our families, trying to, you know, trying to find that magical balance between being at the house, taking care of family stuff, and actually making money, it's good to see a guy being able to actually do that. So, he's because he was on everything in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
He was what? Ghostbusters, Little House of Horrors, not House of Horrors. What,
yeah,
what
yeah Little
plan?
Shop of Horrors. And
Honey
of course, that whole series there.
Spaceballs. Blue Heaven with Steve Martin.
Oh, yeah, that's when he played the FBI agent.
Yes.
All kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was Rick Moranis was on a roll. And what was so funny, you know, that I still to this day, if you get locked out of your house, you're pulling a Scully because he's yelling, okay, well, good talking to you. Maybe we get together, have some lunch someday. He's going to lock himself out of his apartment again.
Okay, who brought the dog?
Yeah.
You're right.
Because he was like an insurance salesman or something like that in Ghostbusters, but that was funnier than hell.
Yeah.
Because he was playing himself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened to Dave Thomas on the other end of that. Don't really know, you know, didn't see him much after that.
He played, I know he was on one of a brief series at, I'm drawing a blank on the woman's name, but Grace Under Fire, that's the name.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
He had a regular role in that, and that one, of course, had some issues with the lead and some challenges. But, yeah, that was – and just sort of, boom, disappeared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were they started with the SCTV, wasn't it? That's where they got their start with
Yeah, and a lot of Canadian comedians were involved. I think John Candy at one time was involved with that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's another one on this. John Candy's funny as hell.
Oh, what a great.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I think I had mentioned on the show last week that Sunday before last would have been Rodney Dangerfield's 100th birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. doesn't seem like it. They, you know, I was reading that he had passed in 2004, and I'm like, God, was it that long ago? It seemed like just yesterday, you know?
Oh, man.
Was it?
Yeah, it's, I miss Rodney. He's another one of the greats. There was actually an article, and I can't remember which one of the left side internet journalists, I do the air quotes on the journalist thing, but they had the top 25 stand-up comedians of all time. And I said, all right, let's click on it, see what they do. I knew I was in trouble when they had Robin Williams as number 25. Nah, this guy is not number 25. Nevertheless, keep clicking on it. And I was reading a couple guys I had never heard of, and I'm going, okay, this thing's going south. You guys want to know that Rodney Dangerfield wasn't on that list?
Really?
And I says, yeah. I said, how in the hell can you actually have a stand-up comedian list and not have Rodney on it, regardless of where you rank him?
That's insane.
You know. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like having a sci-fi conversation and not mentioning Star Trek or Star Wars. You know what I mean? It's
oh my God.
Seriously,
I mean,
Rodney, and he used the same shtick for so long, and it was so successful. But he absolutely did it and just had continued tweaks to all the little stuff he was doing all the way through.
And so quick-witted, too. With his
mind. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you hear the stories about Caddyshack, about how he was ad-libbing some of that stuff. That whole line about the hat was supposedly ad-libbed. About the, oh,
really?
It's good on you, Judge. That was supposedly ad-libbed.
No kidding. That whole scene.
Now, I don't know. You know, that don't mean they did, you know, they took the first take or whatever, but yeah, it was just. Or the,
wow.
Or the, you know, free bowl of soup with it or whatever. It just, yeah.
The chemistry he had with Ted Knight in that movie was just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what chemistry!
And the thing that was is Ted Knight hated him. Ted Knight thought that he was behind the scenes. Ted Knight thought that Rodney was an abomination to comedy. He said he was the most unprofessional.
Kind of like the heat that Bill Murray had with Chevy Chase in the same movie.
Yeah,
because they didn't like each other either.
Yeah, Ted Knight had all kinds of nasty things to say about Rodney, how he had no professionalism and he had no appreciation for comedy. And
Man. They were so good together, though.
Oh my
God, it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
Like on the wrestling end, kind of like Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, they couldn't stand each other, but they got in the ring, they had classic matches, the best matches.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they couldn't stand it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to put the stuff in the side and get to work sometimes, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
oh,
Rodney,
yeah.
Correct.
Oh,
you.
What a movie.
Right there from the beginning when he's, hey, snails, $100 say you shake it into the woods. There is no gambling in this establishment, and I never shake it into the woods. Oh, God.
Oh, man. Love that movie.
When Ted Knight threw the golf club and
hit the old lady. When he told the old lady,
God.
He said, yeah, were your inspiration for Twin Beds?
Yeah. Easy Money is another movie that never gets the credit it should. Easy Money was hilarious.
God, between Rodney and Joe Pesci, man, I was dying.
Yeah. That movie was funnier than hell. They got that fat kid on the rocket horse, and he's trying to take a picture of him. He's got my eyes. Yeah, well, he's got my nose. Yeah, well, he's got my sympathy. I mean, you can't help but laugh.
Oh, man.
God, man, that was funnier now. But, yeah, there was a bunch of guys that got left off that list that I found very surprising. Jerry
That's
Seinfeld.
Crazy.
I was never a big Seinfeld guy, but he wasn't on the list.
Jerry Seinfeld wasn't on there? Oh, my God.
Nope. Howie Mandel was not on the list.
Howie Mandel? Where was it?
Yeah.
What planet was this guy on?
I don't
Lord.
Know. I have
he
a
had to have
I
some
know.
Really unique parameters.
Yeah. Yeah. He. Well, I think I kind of know what was going on. Nevertheless, you know, it's off-air topic. But as I just looked at this thing, I was like, man, does this cat even really know anything about comedy and the history of comedy? You know, there was no Sam Kinison's. No Roseanne Barr's.
I guess Andy Kaufman was out of the question.
Yeah, Andy Kaufman went on there. Dice Clay wasn't on there.
Andrew Dice Clay, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, my
None
God.
None of those guys.
Was Red Fox on the list?
Yes, Red Fox was on the list.
Thank
okay,
God.
I was going to say, because, you know, you stop and you think, Red Fox... And you guys have both, between you all, have mentioned some folks that if it weren't for Rodney Dangerfield and Red Fox, some of these other comedians wouldn't have really got their break because of the clubs they ran.
Yes.
Pat Morita wouldn't have got nearly the success. He credits Red Fox for a lot of his success in his old interviews. Mr. Miyagi?
Yeah, those guys, a lot of times...
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
In wrestling history, they talk about Ric Flair putting a lot of people over during his career. Rodney and Red Fox were two of those same guys that would a lot of times donate the spotlight, if you will, to the newer guys.
Oh, absolutely.
If he knew you had, if you had the ethic and if you had the talent, Rodney would get behind you. Same with Red Fox, and they would promote the promising guys more than they would promote themselves. And that's a selflessness that you don't find in the entertainment industry much. But I've heard nothing.
That's right. Look at Sam Kinison, for example.
Yeah.
He's the guy that Rodney put.
Yeah.
Well, Red Fox helped Robin Williams.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah, there was a
and
bunch
Robin
of
Williams
the
was
guys.
A genius, man. What a genius that guy was. Amazing.
I remember, I think it was a Red Fox bit where he talked about saying he had invited Robin Williams up on the stage to do some improv, and he watched him for the next 20 minutes.
Oh, I believe it.
You know, I tell you a name I didn't hear either of you mention yet. Johnny Winters.
Oh,
he
John
was not
Winters,
on
yeah.
I don't think people
I think
know
Milton
how
Burrow
much that man did for stand-up.
Milton Berle, I bet he wasn't on there.
Milton
Berle
was not on there. Yeah.
Or what about Don Rickles? Was he on there?
Rickles was on there, but he hit right around, I want to say, 15. He was in the teens somewhere, which was another one that I couldn't. Wrap
wow.
my mind around. Rickles was another one that was just, and he wasn't a big film guy like some of these other folks were. He was straight stand-up and doing the comedy roast and that kind of stuff. And
well, they did try to give him several goes at TV, but film-wise, you're right. I can only think of two things with them: Kelly's Heroes.
Yep.
And Muscle Beach, one of the one of those whole beach series movies and all that. He
right.
ran
was
the muscle.
For, Don
the
Rickles,
musclehead, the
said?
Gym owner.
Yeah.
Was this Don Rickles? Okay. There's a funny spoof, right? And I think it was the movie Casino he did with Robert De Niro.
Yep.
Where he was kind of like he was like the backup. He was the heavy for Robert De Niro's character, in which it was ironic because. Don Rickles didn't have hardly any lines, right? So they're doing this is a blooper scene, right? And De Niro kept screwing up his line, and finally Don Rickles says out of the blue, "Hey, listen, dummy, I'm the doofus that don't have any lines, but you are a big time star and you can't remember your line. What's wrong with you?" And the whole set started howling, laughing.
Rickles was funny.
Absolutely. And
oh man, too funny.
But then again, you're talking those. Well, at least half of the two men in that conversation came from that generation where they were allowed to give each other crap and it was okay. You know, we've talked about it before, especially us three amongst the show, because we remember it, the Dean Martin Celebrity Roast.
Yep. Oh, classics.
You ever seen the one where they roasted Red Fox? I mean,
yeah.
you'd be damn dying. And I don't think, I mean, you know, you talk about someone that almost made you want to cry at the end, old Sammy Davis Jr., and they gave him grief the whole show. And he almost made you want to cry at the end. It was, you know.
Yeah, oddly enough, Sammy Davis did not make the list either.
Wow.
He was not on the list. Yeah, it was.
What about Richard Pryor?
Again, Richard Pryor was wondering. Richard Pryor was number one.
Wow.
I'm shocked. Which I, you know, not taking anything away from Richard Pryor because he was funny. He had some funny shit out there. But to put him in front of guys like Rickles and Rodney and those kind of guys, it's like.
That's insane.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but yeah, it was definitely a surprise. There was a lot of names on there that I didn't see, and I don't know. It just seemed a little skewed,
Just a comedian on top. I got him visioned in my head. He's got curly hair, but I can't think of the guy's name. But he always talks so serious. He had the old school John McEnroe look. The curly hair.
He was actually on there. He was in the 20s. It was Stephen Wright.
Really?
Stephen Wright.
That's
Stephen Wright. Yeah, I think he's the one that had done the whole bit. I used to talk normal, then I took a speed reading, and Evelyn went reading class, and I hit a bookmark. Yeah, Stephen Wright. Yeah, he had that.
Oh, he was great, man. Oh, my God, he was great. What about George Carlin? Was he on the list?
Carlin was actually on there. Carlin, I want to say, was around at 10, 12, which he's another one. I don't know how, if I had to rank him myself, it would be hard to put Carlin out of the top five.
Right.
I know he's more of a prophet
than a comedian. Because a lot of his stuff, he really hit home.
Yeah. he seems pretty prescient now, does he not?
Oh, absolutely. Because he was considered hardcore liberal back when he was doing his thing. If you watch his stuff now, you would consider him heavy-duty conservative, you know?
Yes.
Does that tell you about the paradigm shift?
Yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah, very true. Carlin's stuff was funny, though. Carlin was... he was another one that could just take the truth, and no matter how miserable it is, well, he was the one that said you can make anything funny. And he said, he says, rape is funny. And you can hear the whole crowd go, And he goes, well, no. He says, imagine Bugs Bunny raping Elmer Fudd. And the whole place just went up laughing. I'm like, okay, well, it makes sense now all of a sudden, you know, but. Carlin was funnier than hell. Mm-hmm. And he was being honest. He shot from the hip. He didn't really he was another one, didn't really care about making friends. He just went out there and did his thing. And, yeah, but Carlin did make the list. If I had to make a list, he'd certainly be in my top five. Easy.
Uh-huh. I'd like to point out that this tangent started on the word toque. But for things we're thankful for are these comedians that have made us laugh all these years and still make us laugh, even for those that are no longer with us.
Yes. Yes.
See, I tied that together. It took a while, but I tied it together.
Wow, well done.
And yes, our tangent started off pretty much a variation of the right after the intros. Or as part of the intro, wasn't it? The whole toque thing? Man.
Mm-hmm.
We're on a roll. And gentlemen, I'll give you a ton of credit because while we were running through a list of movies and stuff that made us laugh, I admit to being somewhat flabbergasted that you did not spend more time on Spaceballs.
Yeah.
Like we did on Caddyshack and stuff. I thought, sure, that was going to get more time, but when you guys managed to run past it, because I know between the three of us, we ain't got no damn sense when it comes to certain movies. Stroh, we were all eating over there at Liliana's, and we were just between Spaceballs and Blazing Saddles just quoting movies for, like, what, half an hour?
Oh, that was tremendous.
And my nephews had seen neither of those movies.
Oh, man.
And it was hilarious.
Great. They're in for it great if they ever do.
Yeah, Spaceballs is one of those movies that required watching. Spaceballs is up there with Tommy Boy and Caddyshack when it comes down to movies
right.
that you have to watch. You know what I mean?
Don Knotts and Tim Conway and
Conway. Harvey Burnett, yes.
Was any of them mentioned in the list?
Carol Burnett, since he went that way.
Nope.
Oh, my God.
Phyllis Diller showed up on there. Hi, good.
Good.
Thank God.
Good, because you know she was like, she was her own like library. She had her like Phyllis Diller version of the Dewey Decimal System for all her jokes. Apparently, kept them on like the little index cards and had everything filed and cross referenced and everything.
Oh yeah,
no kidding.
Oh, she was. God, she was funny.
And Joan Rivers was on the list, too. I want to say she was somewhere around Carlin in that 10 to 12 ballpark.
Okay. What about
I might get in trouble. Trouble here. I'm just going to say Joan Rivers was overrated. Papa Stroh, who were you going to say, brother, before I ran over you?
Don't worry. You just caught the side of me, so I can be able to get up. The tire didn't get me that bad, so.
Nice.
I was spared. thank you. Billy Crystal.
Yep, Billy Crystal was
on.
Yeah, Billy Crystal was another one that not only did he do a lot of live stand-up, but he did a lot of character acting, and he did a lot of improv stuff. You know what I mean? Where he just went out there and started running his mouth and made magic out of it.
No, he was great. His impersonation of Sammy Davis Jr. was amazing.
Oh, yeah. And he was... you could not pigeonhole his humor by a mile. Yeah, he did. You know, well, think about this. When he was there on Soap, did we ever think he was going to be one of the best ones from Saturday Night Live?
Right. What about Jackie Gleason?
You Look Marvelous. Wasn't that Saturday Night Live when he was doing it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But Jackie Gleason, that's another one.
Yeah, Jackie Gleason was not on the list.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Art Carney, I'm going to think it was not on there. The,
Chris Rock was number four.
Okay.
Wow.
So that's in my mind, that's a little high, but he's done some stuff, guys.
Chris Rock has some funny stuff. Yes, he does. He's funny.
Oh yeah.
Is he in the top five? Maybe not. But
what about Dave Chappelle?
Dave Chappelle, I want to say, was like number eight. Which
the what? I wonder when that list was made, because I would say over the last 3 months, if he was eight prior to 3 months ago, right now he could be either number one or he could be off the list. Just saying.
He could go on the side, yeah. I watched his latest one on Netflix the other night, and I don't know, for me it had a few little lines in it that got a ha-ha out of me, but by and large, it was almost like him doing a public speaking for 45 minutes. It wasn't, I don't know, it was almost like he was trying to speak for himself more than anything. And let's face it, I mean, when it comes down to comedy, and that's the bad news about comedy, Bill Burr hit on this a little while back. Bill Burr's another funny ass. But
he's great.
He said the whole idea behind comedy is making humor of things. So if you're 7 foot tall and I walk by and say, hey, how's the weather up there? You know, it's not offensive. It's a joke. And for a comedian, that's a comedian's job, to crack jokes. So when the tall guys suddenly lost the ability to laugh at those types of jokes, that's when things really started taking a turn. And to be honest with you, I mean, you guys, we're all long enough in the tooth to recall when, when Dice Clay came out.
Oh, yeah.
Dice Clay was crude in a lot of his stuff. He said a lot of crude, vulgar stuff. But I recall, as being a teenager, being told, you don't listen to that guy. You know what I mean? Because he was vulgar. But you listen to it, despite the vulgarity, it was funny. And I think that's where we lose a lot nowadays, is that we try not to be funny as much as we're trying to be careful these days, because everybody's,
Well, Bill Cosby's humor, I still, you know what, we had the Wonderfulness album on vinyl.
Yes.
And I remember it was probably back one of those damn, infect your computer, no money for the people that had that did the recordings type things that you could download. I didn't want to necessarily mention that certain Citrus named site. But I had pulled that down to just have my kids listen to some of the stuff, because that had Chicken Heart and it had go-karts and it had the whole bit about consoles. You know, and I mean, there was just some great stuff.
He was
and how all those characters that were part of his growing up, he kind of referenced, you know, the various folks that he had. And they, hell, they ended up being the Cosby Kids cartoon for how many years?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Not to mention how long it played over and over.
Yeah,
but
Albert,
fairly recently, they did a movie on it, right?
Yeah. Was Cheech and Chong even on the list?
No, they weren't. Cheech and Chong
was not
on the list. Oh, my God.
No.
Cosby.
Oh, my God.
If I recall, Cosby was right around Joan Rivers in that 10, 12, 13 ballpark. Eddie Murphy was on there in the low single. I want to say he was 7 or 8. And, God, there was another one that I was just – it was rolling around in my head, and now I've lost it. But, yeah, now Eddie Murphy was funnier than shit. He's another one. There are certain specials from the 80s. All the George Carlin ones, the Rodney Dangerfield specials, he's come on HBO. Eddie Murphy, Delirious. Delirious is still one of the funniest damn stand-up routines. I mean, that whole thing. And we all...
Okay, hey, guys, I got to ask you. We had talked about this before. I think Papa Stroh was with us, and we had brought up the whole Goony Goo Goo, your wife is a Bigfoot.
Yes.
Dr. John had never heard that. You guys remember that?
Yeah, I remember. He had never heard the Aunt Bunny story.
It blew me away that there was a Bigfoot reference that he did not know.
Yeah.
That's a comeback moment right there.
Aunt Bunny falling down the steps. Lord Jesus, help me. I'm falling down the steps. Yeah, Delirious was funnier than hell. That was, but... Speaking on Bill Cosby, the Bill Cosby himself special. I mean, everybody. That was when he was talking about doing the Lamaze with his wife with the woof, weep, woof, whoosh, whoosh. Or he's talking about the dentist visit. With his,
the dentist visit. Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes.
that whole special, I mean... That was another one that everybody saw it. Everybody knew every line to it, you know. And I kind of missed that. I used to look forward to the comedy concerts that they used to have on HBO and everything. But like I said, nowadays, you know, it's almost like they're being too careful. And going back to the Dave Chappelle thing, if you watch some of Dave Chappelle's stuff from 10 years ago, it's all you could do to keep damn oxygen in your lungs from laughing so damn hard. Some of the stuff he used to do was just absolute, because he didn't care. He was being funny. He was making fun of everything. Nobody was safe. And now, of course, you know, in the event you crack a joke, there's somebody out there who's going to be, you know, incensed by your words. But going back to the Dice Clay thing, it's real simple. You just turn it off. You know what I mean? And granted, things are a little different now with the Internet. Kind of hard to keep your kids sheltered now with the Internet, because if you tell them, hey, no, you can't watch this, they'll just get on their damn phone and pull it up when they're in bed. But nevertheless, you know, that was the thing. If we found somebody not in line with our beliefs or what we deemed as unfunny, we simply didn't watch it. We didn't go out there and try to totally destroy a person's livelihood over it. We just simply turned it off, you know. So, you know, because you can listen to a lot of that stuff, you know, from the 70s and 80s that, you know, somebody now can listen to, and I mean, get totally off to the left over it.
Again, I'll go back to Dean Martin's Celebrity Roast. They lose their stinking mind.
Yeah. Well, what about Steve Martin? Was he on there?
Steve Martin was, and I want to say he was low. He was high teens, if I recall.
Wow.
He was. Yeah, he was on there. Bill Murray was not. Of course, Bill Murray wasn't really a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
Martin Short, David Spade, none of those guys were on there. Chris Farley was not on there. John Candy was not on there.
What? Oh.
Yeah.
What about John Belushi?
Belushi was not on there.
Oh, jeez. No,
yeah.
No Belushi or Farley. Oh, my God.
No. No. And, you know, there are some guys, there are some comedians out there that you just don't jive with. I'll admit that. I mean, even some of Chevy Chase stuff, you know, there are stuff I like him in, and then there's stuff where I'm like, God, get this guy out of here. You know what I mean?
Did you ever see the Johnny Carson show where Richard Pryor almost knocked him out? Because Richard Pryor was telling Johnny Carson something about he was doing something for his son, and Kevin Chase made a smart comment about his son, and Richard Pryor looked back at him like he was going to knock him out. And you can see Johnny Carson.
They had some well-documented
You can see Johnny Carson put his hand on Richard Pryor's hand and say, like, he's not worth it. and Jimmy Chase is like, I'm sorry, it's just a joke. It's just a joke.
Wow.
Oh.
No, I'm not going to look that up. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. You can check it out. Yeah, it's the same. Well, you know, they're. Just type in the search Johnny Carson, Richard Pryor, and Chevy Chase.
Oh, wow.
Classic.
Now, I know Richard Pryor and Milton Berle got into, well, actually it wasn't a pissing contest. It was Milton Berle getting butt hurt. I think it was the Dick Cavett show or something. Maybe it was Mike, God, who was the talk show guy? Mike, Who got
Alan.
All the ladies moist? Mike who?
Nope. I was going to say, but I thought it was Mike Allen that was pre-Carson.
No.
I think it was something Allen.
Yeah. Nutty Professor, when Eddie Murphy was playing the grandma, she says, that's the first white man that ever made me moist. Mike Douglas.
Michael Douglas.
I think that's it. Mike Douglas, right? But Milton Berle was talking about he had gotten some girl knocked up and that she went and got an abortion. And this is back in the early 70s. So, of course, you know, we weren't acting like, you know, abortion was, you know, like buying pretzels at the grocery store like we do now. So Milton Berle was having this deep, serious talk about himself. And Richard Pryor is sitting next to him snickering. And Milton Berle actually got bowed up. And if I recall his catch line, he said, you need to pick your spots. And that's what he told Richard Pryor. And I was like, ooh. But, yeah, Richard Pryor was over there damn giggling his ass off at Milton Berle's story. And Milton Berle was trying to be serious. And it pissed him off. And, yeah. I was like, wow. I mean, that was pretty tense when you watch it. I mean, it's one of those ones where you get done watching and you're like, ooh, whew. You almost want to unbutton your shirt a bit, you know, let steam out.
If you get a chance to see another Carson show, check out the one with Doris Day and Rodney Dangerfield. And where Rodney tells his jokes. And, he looks back at Doris Day and says, no offense. And she punches him in the arm. And evidently she must have punched him pretty hard because Rodney turned his head like, whoa. It's hilarious.
great about Rodney is that Rodney sold it every time you saw him. It's just Rodney was being himself. Even when he had that heart surgery and they had like a little press conference afterwards, and here's this, you know, heart surgeon who's, you know, one of the top heart surgeons on the planet, and he's trying to discuss the procedure that was done on Rodney. And, I mean, this guy is vanilla and as plain as he could possibly get. And Rodney is down there popping off one-liners on him the whole time he's doing it. And he finally stops and he goes, and as everybody can tell, Mr. Dangerfield's recovery is coming along fine. And, I mean, it was funnier than hell because Rodney was just ribbing the hell out of the guy who just saved his life, you know. But that was Rodney. You know, Rodney was just a trip everywhere he went. And he was just one of those guys that had the ability not to take it too seriously. You know what I mean? He,
well,
his comedy.
You know what? I would like to – I would strongly suggest – he's talking about people thankful and that. You know, people want a quick turnaround in today's society. They really do. They want the microwavable success. It doesn't friggin' work like that. You got to work long and hard and keep working. Be thankful for every little – even those jobs that you don't call your favorite in your experience, you learn something from. And what people forget is Rodney was well into his 60s when he started getting movies and stuff, or late 50s anyways.
Right. Right,
because
he was
late 50s when he started doing doggone when he did Caddyshack and the light beer commercials and all that light beer commercials. Oh my God!
Yeah.
Look, that may not be stand up, but you guys remember that era of light beer commercials?
Yeah.
You
would eat his one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, when they're playing, you know, they're playing pool, Rodney couldn't break the doggone pool balls. His bowling ball down the bowling alley bounced off the pin, stuff like that. You know, in the meantime, Bubba Smith is sticking his fingers through a bowling ball that didn't have any holes for fingers.
Wow.
Or he's freaking split, or he's splitting a cue ball when he hits it with the cue. You know, there was just stuff like that. Yeah.
Because there was a guy who did the, you could call me Ray, you could call me Jay, but he doesn't have to call me Johnson.
You can call me Jay, you can call me Ray J. Johnson Jr., but you hasn't got to call me Johnson.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, those were fucking hell, because Boo Powell was in them. I want to say Mickey Mantle was in a couple of them. Ben Davidson, Bubba Smith, like you said. They were funnier than hell.
Oh. Yeah, and that was just – and these were – stop and remember, you know, Rodney, sure, stand-up background. The other baseball player ended up doing pretty good comedy-wise was a catcher. Oh, my seat must be in the front row.
Oh, Uecker. Bob Uecker.
Yep. He ended up doing pretty well for himself comedy-wise. But you stop and you think, doggone Bubba Smith and Dick Butkus. You know, Bubba Smith talked about how he got out of, you know, once he got out of pro football, all his lifting and stuff was Hollywood lifting for appearance. Vice, you know, the way he was for football. But people, they saw Dick Butkus doing that. They had no idea about that cat on the football field. Again, guys that did not have a stand-up background that could be really entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, yeah, you know, guys. I want to go back and focus on the whole age thing that I kind of tried to start this particular tangent on. Look how long it took Rodney to get massive, and he kept at his craft. he had his routine way back when, and he kept at it.
Yeah.
And he eventually hit that success. So talk about being thankful, don't you know? He kept learning on the way, and he got there. And one of the things he learned was keep working. And he, going back to him and Red Fox having those clubs, those guys were out there paying their doggone dues before they had gotten, you know, their chances in film,
right,
whether TV or the big screen. And they were making sure that they had clubs and were making breaks for other people. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
They were not only thankful for what they got, they were paying it back.
Yeah. Yeah. And they all acknowledged the fact that those guys were the reasons why they had gotten. Because I recall Rodney used to have the HBO specials. And you would turn it on, and the first 10, 15 minutes would be Rodney. And then it would turn into him introducing other comedians. And I can remember Roseanne Barr, Sam Kinison, Dice Clay. I remember a bunch of people just going through and doing – Seinfeld was one of them that did stand-up on a Rodney Dangerfield special. And that's where, you know, things started moving for them. And I can't remember Howie Mandel, where he was for his first stand-up, but I'll never forget. He comes out there, and this is back when he was doing the woo, you know, making the damn noises and everything. He came out, and he took the mic off the stand, and he put the stand on the stage, and he laid flat down on his stomach and just stared out at the crowd, right, and didn't say anything. And you could just tell this uncomfortable kind of a silence with the crowd, right? And then eventually he goes, well, just want to tell you guys from the start that I'm not really a stand-up. And, I mean, I fell out laughing, dude. I mean, the guy laid right there on the damn stage for a good minute and then dropped that one-liner, and it was funnier than hell.
Yep. Well, that was a mind shift for me, for example, because I don't know what he did before St. Elsewhere, I think it was, but there he was, you know, an actor first, if you will.
Yeah, because Howie Mandel, and of course you see him now. I mean, anybody who grew up watching Howie Mandel doing the, the game show with the suitcases. I can't remember the name of the show.
Let's Make a Deal or something?
Nah, it was...
It wasn't the pyramid show, was it? $6 million pyramid or something like that.
It was something. I know what you're talking about, but yeah, it was some variation of, like, you know, you had your calls and all that. Yeah.
Wait, that was
and
Dick Clark,
anybody,
the pyramid show, I'm thinking about.
Yeah, that was Dick Clark. Did $20,000 pyramid, yeah.
That's it.
God, that's going to bother me. I can't remember that game show that Howie Mandel did. But nevertheless, you know, for people that aren't, you know, 40s, 50s, they think that's where Howie Mandel got his start. And I'm like, no, that guy was funnier than hell. And, you know, now he's a judge on, America Got Talent and everything. And if you try to tell somebody now that he started out as a stand-up comedian, they're like, Howie Mandel? No, not him.
He's a well-known germaphobe, so I wonder how he's doing with this whole thing going up.
Yeah, I agree with you, because, you know, and you see him doing the fist bumping and all that kind of jazz with people, and I'm like, hey, buddy,
you know, if you're worried about the cooties, fist bumping will still transfer cooties. As long as you're touching another human being. As I gag. You know. But yeah, when it comes down to the germaphobe stuff, I wouldn't want to be a germaphobe during COVID. That's for damn certain. It's got to be a damn paranoia that's just unmeasurable.
Deal or no deal?
That's it. Goddamn
deal
God,
or no
call.
Deal.
That was it.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't do anything genius. I'll tell you the truth. I'm sitting here searching, trying to find it, but there was a ton of crap he was on.
Because he, excuse me. Because when he was on Saying Elsewhere, he was kind of the mild comic relief on that show. I mean, he wasn't funny, but he was the guy who always, you know, if they had to lighten the mood on the show a little bit, he was the guy I kind of fell on. But then he, you know, went under there for a while, and you never heard anything out of him. And then all of a sudden, he turned up on that game show. And, you know, ever since, he's been kind of forefront doing the judging and all that kind of nifty stuff. But he was funnier than hell back in the day. Mm-hmm. Well, like Robin Williams. You know, Robin Williams, I think we've discussed it on the show before where they talk about Robin Williams has the same behavioral pattern that Charles Manson had, except it wasn't evil. Like, he was the opposite. But they both had the same manic behavioral patterns and all that kind of stuff. And, I mean, mm-hmm. you watch Robin Williams sometimes. That guy could do, like, 3 or 4 different voices and carry on a conversation with himself in 3 or 4 different personalities. You know what I mean? And for as many people out there that you know that can't form a sentence, this guy was able to carry on a conversation with himself as 4 different people. And if you look at his film roles, I mean, he played everything when he was in his films. I mean, he played a bad guy. He played a creepy bad guy. He played a creepy misunderstood guy. He played a grandmother. You know, he played, he played a Jewish guy in that one World War II flick that was real good. He played Mork. He played a freaking alien, for God's sake. Yeah. I mean, that guy was just all over the place, you know?
Yeah. He put the divorced dad trying to be with his kids, Miss Doubtfire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All that stuff.
You know, they say that there is a NC-17 and an R-rated cut of that movie floating around. And it's been in the news right regular here lately. I don't know why all of a sudden it's been in there, but somewhere or another, they actually had a plan to make that a rated R flick. And the producers somehow got in there and said, hey, we don't want this to be rated R. We want this to be a family movie. So we need you guys to water it down a little bit. And the people who made the movie said, well, it's rated R and it's already watered down. So apparently the stuff that Robin Williams was throwing out there, yeah, at NC-17 rate, was just there, just off the damn charts. But, yeah, Ms. Doubtfire was funnier than hell. I mean, and it got you right in the same.
Yeah, that one, let's talk about hitting the fields with the one where he was the robot that wanted to be a person.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, what was the name of that movie? Ah, shit. I know which one you're talking about. Because on the poster, he's wearing like a propeller hat on the poster, if I recall. Ah, damn it. That's another one you had to Google.
I mean, he did some great movies, like, I think, Bicentennial Man. That was it.
Yeah, there you go. That was the one.
That's it.
Yep.
Great movie, What Dreams May Come.
Yeah, dude, that movie, that's another one. You got to be in the right frame of mind to watch that one. That one will screw you up if you're not feeling it. You watch that movie, it'll mess you up. Great flick.
The Bicentennial Man, where he was near the girl that pushed him out the window at one point, and he was standing near the window or whatever, and his eyes started twitching. That shit was funny as hell.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that one was fun. Good Morning Vietnam. For all of us with a military upbringing or being involved with the military, Good Morning Vietnam was just, because all of us know a guy.
I kind of have my own view on that, but I'll leave it alone. I kind of disliked it, I'll just say.
Oh, did you? Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought him bouncing off of Bruno Kirby in that movie was genius. How Bruno Kirby was trying to be the, you know, he wasn't being obnoxious intentionally. You know what I mean? He was just being the Marine. And, you know, he came off as a dick, but he wasn't really a dick, you know. But the way they played off of one another. And oddly enough, that's another one of those flicks that Forrest Whitaker was in that. Forrest Whitaker is another guy that's been in everything. And a lot of people forget him playing Garlic in that movie. And he had a couple good one-liners in that film, too, you know, that was good. I'm trying to think a couple other Robin Williams flicks that were of course, one hour photo was like, when you got done watching that, you felt like you had to shower. Awesome flick, though. Once again.
What was one? I'm kind of running through some of his flicks. Was it Al Pacino where he was in Alaska?
Insomnia. Yes.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good flick. Then there was a couple flicks that he had where he totally laid an egg, like Hook. Maybe if I was 8, I'd get into that movie. But...
Well, I think, you know what, the whole thing is, I don't know that he so much laid an egg as that's what the movie was.
Right.
Because I think everybody was okay in that flick. It was just the flick.
Yeah, just wasn't there. Kind of like Popeye.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Birdcage. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, now that was
the Birdcage.
That was funny. When they had the plates.
Oh, yeah,
the Birdcage was funnier than hell. Trying to think of some of the other. He was in Jumanji, where he was pretty good in that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, Jumanji was, I haven't even watched the follow-on.
Neither have I.
Yeah. What was it, Awakenings or Patch at Awakenings? That was the one with De Niro?
Yeah. Yeah, where De Niro played the guy with the mental issues and
the coma patient.
Yeah, that's it. And then Pat
something
Adams,
like that. Mental issues, coma patient, something.
Yeah. Now Patch Adams, the real Patch Adams, hated the movie. The real Patch Adams said, "No, you make my work look like a joke," and he apparently does not approve of the film. I thought it was a good movie. but he did not.
Yeah, I did too.
He was not pleased with the outcome of that film.
Mm.
Huh.
So I thought it was good. I mean, Peter Coyote playing the old grumpy guy, throwing the damn lunch trays at him and everything, and the bedpans. And they end up, you know, hitting it off. But there was another. I swear, I've got all these movies running around in my head, and then when I got to go to say them, they just totally disappear. But
you know, Dead Poets Society, the Good Will Hunting.
The world,
like you said, the whole Night at the Museum series.
That was the one I was trying to think of. Because John Lithgow played the cross-dressing football player in that one. And that was another one that had the dark humor to it. And it depends on what mood you're in, on how you're going to take it. But that wasn't a bad flick either. That was one of his first movies, if I recall.
The Fisher King?
Yeah. God, I forgot about that one. He was in a ton of stuff, though, man.
Oh, yeah. I sit there and I pulled up his IMDb, and there's a ton of crap here. And I'm like, I didn't know about this or this or this.
Yeah. And, you know, what started all that? Him walking out in a red suit with a silver triangle going, Nanu, Nanu. Well,
actually... You got to remember that started on Happy Days.
Yeah. Yeah, because the egg landed in the Cunningham's house or something to that effect, where Richie brought him home or something, if I recall.
He had jacked up the fox.
Yeah. Because then he got his own spinoff, and that was Mork and Mindy.
Yep. I got to throw this out there. Somebody in the... I am at work the other day. He said I was wrong. And I was like, oh my God, I remember that, but I couldn't tie it together. And he brought back the Fonz from Happy Days. And I was like, so forgot about that, where he couldn't, Henry Winkler couldn't say wrong.
Henry Winkler, now, this kind of strays from the whole stand-up comedy thing we were talking about, but do you guys remember the movie Night Shift?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was Keaton's first, you know, thing, and that movie still to this day. because... Michael Keaton was the guy who kept coming up with all the wild ideas and everything. And Henry Winkler was so just plain. And when he finally got fed up with Michael Keaton coming up with all this stuff, he goes, shut up. Just shut up. I will give you a quarter if you just stop talking. I don't know how many times as a parent I use that line. I will give you a quarter if you just stop talking. Night Shift.
Yep. Yeah. There were a couple things that stood out, like Michael Keaton as Tarzan trying to come to the rescue towards the tail end of the flick and just literally landed flat. That was hilarious. That and Michael Keaton when they were taking his damn booking photo and he turned and looked at the camera, that shit was hilarious. Oh, my God.
And, or when he was going over the word prostitution. Okay, it starts with pros, which that doesn't mean anything. Tit, well, we all know what that is. And shun, like shun as to push away. I mean, absolutely nothing to do with what he was getting at, you know. Because his character was like the nephew of the nephew of the morgue chief or something like that that Henry Winkler worked in, because he was Billy Blazejowski or something like that, because he was doing the Jumpin' Jack Flash when he would come walking into the office with his Walkman on.
Oh, man.
That was a good flick. That's another lost 80s flick. That's another one.
Hey, I hate to tell you, Diamond Dave, I know you had mentioned earlier off to the side that you were like, yeah, we might keep this one short. You know, it's 20 after.
Yeah. 10. It looks like it's time to euthanize this thing, man. We went ahead and made it. I'll be damned.
Hey, let me, before we do the whole closing routine, Papa Stroll, Diamond Dave, oh my God, it's been a while since the three of us got to sit down and have a fireside movie chat. It all started with Tuke.
Been great.
It all started with Tuke.
Tuke.
Oh,
Tuke.
Yes, we just did a tangent for an hour and 15 minutes.
Yes. All over an article of clothing.
It's been great.
The weather, however you want to call it, an article of clothing, the weather, an hour and 15-minute tangent. Not bad, gents.
Is that we never knew the word toque until they made that movie. And then after that movie came out, that's when they were, you know, because we always called them toboggans is what we always called them. And then some people called them knit hats, ski hats. But when the toques come out, and of course it doesn't rate as a toque unless it has like the pom-pom at the top. So, that was great. Well done. I needed this 90 minutes to kind of lift the spirits because I've been feeling like dirt. And this one actually did good. So nice tangent. Nice curveball, Todd.
And to wrap it up with the proper thought, things we're thankful for. Let me tell you. Truth is, it was an absolute truthful tangent. You can't do this with just anybody. So to be able to have the opportunity to do this with your mates, and sit here and do that and honestly have to look, if y'all can't hear the fun we're having, then I don't know, maybe we got to hang this thing up, but you should be able to hear the fun that we're actually having with this whole deal when we run into these things and just have the fun. So, I got to be thankful for that.
Yeah. Well done.
Thanksgiving is perpetual, people.
Yeah. You know, if you allow it to be happy, it will. And I think that's where a lot of people miss it, is that they spend too much money, too much energy on the negative and not enough on the positive. Kind of like I always say, whenever you go to a store or a restaurant or something like that, and, you know, if the food wasn't up to snuff, you know, you're in, you know, the wife's sitting over there in the shotgun seat, you know, flashing off an email or a Facebook post or something like that about how the food wasn't quite right, blah, blah, blah. But the other 1,000 times you've eaten in that restaurant and everything was fine, you never said a word. And that's something that I feel a lot of folks need to kind of have a change of heart. And sometimes it takes a life, something happening, you know, in their lives and everything that kind of brings you around. But, yeah. Try to concentrate on the happy. Put some energy into that, and you'd be amazed at how the simplest things could be the best of your day, kind of like tonight's show. I've been having a total turd day up until 2100 this evening, gents, so I appreciate it very much.
It's been great.
Very, very much. So we'll go ahead and pass it around the room since there are in but three of us, and as always, Stro, you're the busiest out of all of us, or at least weighs the most exciting out of all of us. The rest of us are, you know, plain bagels, no sesame seeds. You're an everything bagel on the flip side, so we'll let you lead off, brother. What you got going on?
Well, tomorrow night, WCW Retro, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on BeAssignation.com. We'll be discussing creating our own Starcade wrestling card with stars from the past and present. So if you'd like to call in and create your Starcade pay-per-view roster, if you will, feel free to call in. It should be a good time. And then Friday night, the Horror Sci-Fi Show, The Stro Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my Facebook page, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. Friday night's feature will be The House on the Haunted Hill, starring Vincent Price.
Classic.
Prime. And The Devil's Daughter is now, not only is it now on YouTube.
The award-winning Devil's Daughter.
Yes, yeah, we recently won an award for an indie film festival, and waiting to hear back for some others as well. So the ball's really started to roll in. So you know that things are looking up. We're also now on Amazon Fire TV.
Awesome.
So look us up on Amazon Fire TV. I think it's Dominion TV. It goes through Dominion TV through Amazon Fire TV, but we're on Amazon Fire TV regardless. So look us up on there if you have Amazon Fire TV. So, yeah, if you haven't chance to see the film yet, please check it out. It was a pleasure to be a part of. Great cast and crew, and I'm just really grateful for all the good feedback thus far.
Yeah, I had to look that up, man, because I've been wanting to check into it. We got to get Ron on the show, too. It's been a minute. I know the last time I spoke to him, he had a little too much going on with his life and everything, and he wasn't able to hook up. But maybe perhaps to try to reach out to him and see if we can get him back on the show, because Ron's shows were always the shows that we ran. We had to just cut the damn things off because we'd just go and go and go. And because he's that type of guy and very creative, very intelligent, and he's one of those guys that puts his heart right there. I mean, when he has a project in mind, he pulls the heart right out of his chest and sets it right on top of the project, says, let's get this done. So, yeah, try to get a hold of him, see if we can get him on before Santa Claus eases by. So, but, yeah, Stro, man, it was sure good to see your number pop up this evening, brother. I appreciate you joining us tonight. Lifted the spirit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, thank you as always, you know, always for having me. Always a good time here.
Yeah, dude, very much. Blessed.
Oh, we love having you, mate.
Yeah, man, no doubt. So, Todd, kind of wisdom do you have for us before we sign off this evening, brother?
Just remember to be thankful for the little things. Quick, you know, it's the little things add up. The little things add up. The pyramids at Giza are not made up of one big solid block. Just saying. So let everything add up. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another. Stay smart out there. Big hugs.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Good point, man. And good to have you aboard this evening. And, of course, for those of y'all who listen regularly, we're missing out on our friends, you know, Tim, Granny Hulkster, and Amazing Velvet this evening, as they've got some stuff going on, and we wish them nothing but good vibes going their way, and each one of them have quite a few things going on, couldn't join us this evening, so always our love heading out to our partners in crime, so hope they are doing well. And as for myself, I'm just going to go ahead and sign off again with the happy birthday wishes. It's kind of funny. Like I said, in the span of 6 days, I celebrate two dogs' birthday. Actually, I'll even stretch it out a little further and just say in a span of 20 days, I celebrate an anniversary two dogs' birthdays, my son's birthday, and my wife's birthday. And when I mention all of them, and, of course, you know, not leaving out my grandchildren or my daughter or my folks or anybody else, but, you know, this little ride I go through every November. And before I met Dale, November was just another month for me. And, you know, Thanksgiving was a day that, you know, I'd swoop by the folks' house and eat myself blind, and then the next morning get up and just go on back to the miserable life I had going on for me. But then when I met Dale, and we hit it off there in November of 95, now here I am. And, you know, Todd speaks about being thankful and everything. I'm feeling under the weather right now, of course, but I'm standing outside of a paid-for house, leaning on a deck that we rebuilt last weekend with the courtesy of my son and my brother-in-law. All the things that I'm doing right now, even you guys, for crying out loud, I would not be in the space that I'm at right now had it not been for Dale coming along. And, you know, Rob, he's, you know, he's given me the one thing I always wanted, and that's a son. And he's done one hell of a good job as a son, and I'd be lost without him. And as for my doggies, y'all know how I am about my dogs, man. I treat them better than I do my children. And, you know, when you're not feeling quite up the snuff, the dogs know. And the dogs seem to have a way of kind of pulling together and trying to lift the spirits no matter how it is. So, yeah, talk about being thankful. This time of year where there's so many good things happening that you can't help but look back on what was going on prior to a certain event happening. And, you know, whenever you find yourself in a bad place, you can usually track it back to one or two lousy decisions you made. But when you find yourself in a good place, you can track it back to one or two good decisions you made. And I did that with my wife. So I want to wish her, my son Rob, my two doggies, all of them a happy birthday this week. And I hope they party their asses off with me, because that's what I have in mind. That's how I'm going to shake this cooties that I got, copious amounts of whiskey. So with all that being said.
Alcohol is sterile.
It is.
Just saying.
And it's, yeah, it's a natural antiseptic too, you know. So perhaps I get in there and get the old belly wash going, and it will rid me of this garbage I got. And no, it's not COVID. And no, I'm not infecting the earth. And no, it's not a strand named after an Autobot. I just got some janky sinuses.
What is it? Omicron is also what? Moronic as an anagram?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you notice they skipped G. Because
well, they
Chinese
skipped a bunch of... Yeah, right.
Yeah, I said that. Ain't that coincidental? But that's another show, right? So, with all that being said, hey, we're going to actually cut this thing off at 10:33. How do you like that, guys? And we're going to cue in that old salty
bridge.
Not too shabby, yes. Goes to show our level of professionalism. We kick ass. Well done this evening, gents, and we appreciate everybody joining us this evening here at Pop Culture Stars. If you get a chance, drop us a line, popculturestars@outlook.com. Let us know what you think. Hope everybody is doing well, and we will see everybody next week. Y'all take care.
Be safe, Paul. Be good.
Much love, everybody.
Where's that British lady?
British lady, where are you?